Happy 2026. I'm super excited for this year. I hope you feel the same. We're recording the 1st of January, and I'm here with good friend Kevin Baumgartner, and we talk about productivity habits and other things regularly. So I thought, hey, we should just get together and talk about our goals and our vision for the next year and any frameworks that we found helpful. And I hope that will be beneficial to anyone out there who already made resolutions, still needs to edit, tweak them. It's never too late to start getting after some good goals. So yeah, thank you, KB, for being here. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tell me just a little bit about what stage of life you're in and what you're doing.
Yeah, right now I'm just a young professional, working a job and getting married this year. And
exciting.
Looking forward to being able to grow. Obviously, there's room for anyone to grow. But I think I'm in a stage where there's a lot of places that I realize I would love to go from, you know, where I am to another point. And so it's very relevant to the conversation we're having today.
One of my favorite questions that I found when I started thinking about viewing the last year, 2025, and thinking about the next year, it came from Chris Williamson. He's the podcaster for Modern Wisdom. He had a review template. And one of those questions, it was, what would have to happen by the end of the next year, so the end of 2026, to look back on that year and consider it a success? And I was like, wow, that is a really good question because it really causes you to define what success is. For me, I'll say what I say and then maybe you can give what you're thinking. For 2026 to be successful, I will have had to grow in a way like measurably or like meaningfully in my relationship with God. It's like all my other goals, I have a whole list of goals. And if that didn't happen, it doesn't matter if I got all the other ones right. It's like the year wouldn't, I don't think you could count it, or at least I couldn't count it as successful. So that's first and foremost. And then two, I have a lot of big aspirational goals. You know, running a 10K in under 40 minutes, other workout goals, other financial goals. And it's like, well, if I miss one of those, if I break a leg or something, would that stop me from having a successful year? I'm like, I don't think that would be true. But there's certain habits that in past years I've, you know, done well for a season and then just completely fallen off and then got back eventually. But it's like, if I could avoid that, yeah, just be consistent. So I put down, if I consistently, like 90% of the days performed my foundational habits, getting up before 6 a.m., other like devotional, and then also just like basic, some type of physical training.
Okay.
To each day. Because I'm right now, the first half, I'm going to be doing more running, and then later I'm going to do more calisthenic goals. But so that's how I defined success in 2026. And I thought that was just a really helpful question to consider.
That is. One of the things that will define success for me this year is, and this is heavily influenced by last year, one of the things that this year will look like, I think starting with spiritual is really key. So what you brought up with that foundational emphasis on knowing God and knowing Him well, that is entirely true that your spiritual focus is going to, I mean, it's going to define your year, whether it's a focus or a lack of a focus. And I definitely want to start by just aiming for a year that is focused on God. And life isn't just spiritual and then other things. There's everything you do, you can do for God's glory. And that's how God's designed it. And so we can even build all our other goals and everything else that we choose to aim for this year on a foundation of wanting to glorify God through that. And so for me, success this year will look like pursuing a certain level of quality in everything that I do. And I think we'll get into this a little more later. But if I can have a high quality aim and pursuit in each area that I push for, I want to be able to come out of this year looking back and saying, like, this was the best year I've ever had, not because there were, you know, not because I had more free time or because I got richer or anything like that, but because what I did was higher quality than it has been.
And that's in like all areas of life or specifically focused in a few?
There'll be a couple different areas that I'm going to focus on.
Very cool. When you were kind of reviewing and planning, what was one question that you thought was really helpful?
I think, what did last year look like? So not just moving on to, okay, let's do this again, before looking back at what did I aim for last year and where did I get with that? So I went back and reviewed what my goals were last year and what was helpful, what I wanted to roll over into this next year and keep doing. Maybe if there's anything that really turned out it wasn't really the right way to be going about it. So just being able to reflect is probably a really good aim before you jump into pursuing something new.
Right. So what are some of those things that you rolled over into the next year?
Well, one thing last year that I really wanted to emphasize was just a continual emphasis on physical activity. And I kind of brought the bar down in one sense that I wasn't as worried about how long I was working out. The goal was just let's be consistent. Let's get to the gym or let's do some physical activity most days. And that's just kind of where the bar was. And so looking back, there were definitely some weeks with finals, with a lot of work where I, you know, hit the gym only a couple of times. But I would say consistency for the year is very good, looking at the overall. Mm. And I really love what I was able to hit there, because instead of aiming for something unrealistic or something that was like a specific time that just won't always be possible, I just looked for a pattern. And that proved to be very helpful for me. And even the weeks where I wasn't able to do as much physical activity I wanted to. And so I'd love to bring that into the new year and to maybe workshop those weeks where I didn't do a lot of physical activity and look at what I could change to still be able to keep that pattern consistent.
I think a lot of people with resolutions, there's a whole group that are resolution haters in a way. They're like, just start it at any time. And I think it is helpful because you have the holidays so grouped together at the end of the year. It's just a natural point to reflect and then set goals. But problem that happens a lot of times is you're like, I'm going to do this goal, this habit. But then as soon as you fail, you're like, oh, there goes my resolution. That's unfortunate. Something I read in Atomic Habits, which if to the listener, if you've never read Atomic Habits, that is the one book I would say read as soon as you can. It is the...
You wrote this book?
No. By James Clear. It is the foundational book on habits and how to really build them to last. And one of his things that he says is never miss 2 days in a row. It's like, it's okay if you miss a day. If, you know, crazy things happen, sometimes you miss a day. But that means the very next day, you have to do it. Never miss two in a row. One day is maybe just a fluke, but 2 days is the start of a habit. So that shooting for consistency, I think allowing for some wiggle room in your habits is really good.
I love that principle, because think about someone who operates on, okay, I need to work out every day. You'd be crazy to set that because everyone needs rest. But if you set that, okay, you fail in like the second week of January, now your goal is ruined. That goal is not going to work anymore because that day is gone. So that person maybe worked out like 10% of the year or less. Whereas someone who had that rule, even if they only worked out every other day, they'd still be working out 50% of the year. Yep. So you get some consistency, and 50% was better than that original, I'm going to do this, but then I can't do this, and you fall off.
Yeah. Yeah. Another little framework, or the question that I started actually last year was a word for the year. Like, you know what, name your year, something that's meaningful that you can just put on the wall and be like, this is the year of blank. And 2025, it was the year of routines. And because I'm like, I need to figure out how to implement more routines into my life. The last 3 months were really good. Like I kind of started and then school and things fell apart. But then the last 3 months, I really, really pulled some things together. And I feel like I've improved a lot of routines. So that this next year, my word is commitment. And some people kind of have a main word and then two sub words. And so a second word would be action. And I want to be doing things, starting things, but actually focus is really important. Instead of jumping around, it's important probably at the beginning to discover, to try things. And that's what last year was for me. So this year, I'm going to try to really grab a few that I enjoy this. I think this is really important for these reasons. And so I'm going to commit and I'm going to do that. And I'll get into some of those specific habits that I'm going to really commit to. But
I have a word of the year.
You do? All right.
So mine for this year is quality. I sort of mentioned that at the start. It's easy to do things. We do things all the time, right? That's a vague statement, but it's true. We're always doing something. And one of the big differentiators between you and the next person is how high quality is the thing you're doing, what you're spending your time on. And so two people could be in a room on their phone, but one person is doing something of immense value and the other one is throwing their potential out the window. And I don't want to judge you know, if I'm going to choose one of those people to be, I want to be the person who's spending their time well. And so there's a lot of application I can draw from that, but I really want to look back and be able to say, okay, like I took these different areas in my life that I felt like I could raise the bar in, and I made them higher quality. Mm-hmm. And I invested that time and potential into better resources.
Yeah. What does quality look like? Because it's good to say I want to do quality things, but then you have to actually have a definition for quality.
Especially with something that's not a tangible object. Obviously, I think we can talk all day about quality if it's something tangible. But when you're thinking about how you spend your time or an action, I think quality often comes along with intentionality, which is one of something that you're focusing on this year as well. The thought that you have to put into doing something will just automatically help you sort out choices that wouldn't have really been helpful, or options that maybe wouldn't benefit you or help you grow. And so by putting thought into something, you're investing in this experience becoming a better experience when you actually do it. So just like when you cross a road, if you don't look left, right, left, you know, your crossing of that road might be lower quality if you get hit by a car. But if you stop and look left, right, left, your crossing of that road is probably going to be successful. There's so many times where we have, maybe it's a 5-minute window of time that we don't know what to do with. Or maybe it's an opportunity to spend time with someone and you could just totally just wing it, and maybe it's great, maybe it's not. Or you could put some thought into it and try to make that go from just a random experience to like, this was maybe even life-changing, or this was highly successful, highly productive. And we'd have to go and define successful and productive and all that if we really wanted to. The idea is, let's take something that maybe I'm not thinking about very intentionally, and let's flip that and make it a better experience for me and for the people that it's going to impact.
That makes sense. Yeah, something that I hadn't done until a few months ago was create a mission and vision statement. And it's like, how can you actually be intentional? How can you rate your time if you don't know what you actually should be using it for? Because it's going to be different for everyone. You can't just say everyone should do X. It's like, well, no, what is your mission? What is your God-given mission? What is your vision? Where do you see yourself going? What talents are you developing? And then based off of that, then you can, if you have that spare time, say, hang on, is this a good use of my time? Now, to work hard, you also have to rest hard. So it isn't like you have to be a workaholic. It's just when you rest, be intentional with that rest. Too often you're working and then I'm taking mini breaks, but there's more distraction than actually breaks. Right. So be intentional about it. What are some things that you need to start and stop?
One thing that comes to mind that I need to start is a consistent morning routine. Obviously, morning routines have gone from just a concept to a very, you know, viral, fake construct. There's all sorts of ways to go about it. Sure. I think at the end of the day, like an effective and simple morning routine can be a really, really strong way to begin your day and to get a lot done in a short amount of time and start your day off really well. And I did that for a portion of 2025 and loved it, and then was very derailed by school and just the fluctuation of scheduling. And so I would love to start that again and lock it in and make it a little more permanent. I know events and timing of work schedules and things like that, that can throw things off. Mm-hmm. But if I can have a consistent morning routine, I really want to this year.
What does your, what are some key parts of that morning routine?
So exercise, I think there is some evidence that exercise at the beginning of the day can be really beneficial for your focus and your productivity afterwards. And so I would love to be able to do some form of exercise every morning, love to spend time with God every morning, and ideally have some breakfast as well and just get ready for the day.
Okay, yeah. So along the lines of a successful 2026, so my first thing was relationship with God. I attached a supporting habit that I want to implement into my mornings is review or memorization of Bible verses. And it's one of those things that I'd said for years, honestly. Years, I want to do this. But it's kind of hard. I don't like doing it. So I just never did. And so this is the year I'm going to do it. So that's one thing I'm going to start. And again, going along the lines of intentionality, I'm going to cut out YouTube scrolling. So that's one of those things.
You said that last year.
Well, I've improved a lot. I would say. I think so. But in a way, just like, it's like, how do you actually completely eliminate it?
It's hard because it's educational sometimes.
Exactly. So how, actually, let's workshop this a little. How about just shorts? Because the shorts are really the ones that are like addictive. The YouTube shorts. That's something you can say yes, no to. Like I did or I didn't. So I could easily just throw out all shorts. And most of educational content is not shorts.
That's true. That's
so
true.
Yeah, we could try that. At least for the first quarter.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful sometimes to, instead of saying for the whole year, just like, let's try this for a month or the first 90 days. Because then you can, instead of it, if you like it, then you're like, I like it. I'm going to keep doing it. But if it's for the whole year, then the weekend, you're like, nah.
Okay,
so split it. Yeah, but I just quit now because this is dumb. So yeah, first quarter, no YouTube shorts. Yeah.
You know, my pet peeve is short form content. So I would just say like lifetime, you know, like just
just the rest of your life.
You're never going to find what you're looking for on shorts.
So this doesn't count when I'm posting shorts because I'm a social media manager for a company.
Entirely different thing. Yeah.
So I can post them. I just can't, you know, watch them. So yeah, otherwise all the social medias would be gone at this point. So, but I can't do that. Unfortunately.
And that's okay. I think that'll be part of the push and pull of being a content creator is producing content, but obviously not. To produce content, you can't always be absorbing it. So
true.
That actually makes me think of something else that I want to do this year more. Instead of focusing on being a consumer, I want to look more into what it would look like to be a creator. And what I just mentioned about your own habits as a content creator, there's a push and pull there. Like there's these platforms that are so enjoyable to use and to absorb. But there's so much value to investing and putting out your own content. And you could apply this, you could take it even out of the social media world and just apply it to reality. Are you just sort of a passive person hanging out with random groups? Or are you actually investing in people or investing in hobbies or skill sets? And this is something I really want to be definitive in my year as well, that I'm not just consuming. Even if it's decent content, I think there is a huge window of opportunity that most people are just totally missing because they don't have time to create. They don't have time to cultivate a new skill set or write a song or make art. And there's so much talent that's just, we'll never see what could have been possible because it's not going to happen. And I would love to, in my own life, turn that a little bit and say, what can happen?
Yeah. It's the whole idea of, are you living your life or are you watching other people live their life? And there's so many cool Instagram people you can watch and they're doing these really cool things. Like I love travel videography. Wow, they're going to all these cool places. And then also FPV drones. It's like, well, I mean, you could also do that if you weren't watching them. You know, sometimes inspiration, but it's like that only goes so far. Something that my coach said is that action creates insight more than insight creates action.
And so you're telling me I have to get up off the couch to like make things happen?
If you look, and again, that's the whole vision statement, actually look at what you want your life to look like and then draw from that. What are the things I have to do daily to become that person? Yeah, most likely if your vision is anything like mine, you're definitely gonna have to get off the couch. Yeah, ironically, we're on the couch, but you know.
That was part of the joke.
Yeah, it's funny.
Another helpful tool can be to have multiple versions of that goal. So maybe you have, it would be like setting a minimum and a maximum of what you want to be doing. And if you can just fall in that range, it's very dynamic because that can fit a lot more context. An example of this was with the morning routine that I planned and loved and would love to pick back up. I had a morning routine that if I needed a lot of extra time for working on schoolwork or projects, this morning routine is really compact and it had the same elements for consistency, but it was smaller versions of them. And it can kind of combine some different things. So like while I'm working out physically, I can listen to something audibly and that helps maximize my time. And so if I had a really busy day ahead of me, that minimum routine would really help me just hit those behaviors and really enjoy that morning routine still. But I could still on the slower mornings when I have more time, stretch it out and have a bit of a nicer routine there. Mm-hmm. And that way I'm still having a good morning routine and they're mirrored, but that gave me flexibility and I really enjoyed having that wiggle room there.
Yeah. have a MVP is a business term, minimum viable product, but you can do that for a habit. What is the minimum? What is the smallest thing, that the 2-minute version of this habit? I think it's also a concept in Atomic Habits, is what is the 2-minute version? I'm wanting to run every day until I hit this one goal. And the minimum might be put my shoes on and go touch the stop sign and come back. If it's a really busy day, that might be everything I can do, but it keeps the consistency, the habit going. And that's really what's important, is the consistency. Here's another question that I thought was really interesting. What would I do this year if I wanted to make my 85-year-old self miserable?
That's really specific. This can't be your 86-year-old self.
You know, somebody really, really old. I'm sorry if you're 86 and you're listening to this. Like, not my
being
target market.
Being old isn't bad.
No, but what would you do this year to make yourself miserable in the future?
Wow. I think I would waste it. I would just throw away all my time and use it on things that aren't really going to help me at all, and spend a lot of time by myself and not with other people. It kind of pops into my mind is,
what does wasting time look like?
Doing things that you didn't have to do. And that's so different for each person.
True. Yeah.
But if you think
but
about...
But you know what those things are.
If you're feeling guilty about time you're spending, you probably know, you know, maybe scrolling for 7 hours was not a great use of, you know, this weekend or something. So yeah, I think that being able to stay busy, I don't like the idea of... There's sort of this concept in productivity culture that's very toxic, in that you're expected to just always be doing something related to productivity. And it can become very selfish and very unhelpful, especially if you're omitting rest or time for relationships or time for recharging. So it's not about always doing something necessarily, but just using time well is kind of goes back to my intentionality and quality theme for this year. Is like, I want to know that it's going to be good. And I want to know that what I'm about to do is helpful for me, maybe helpful for someone else. Maybe it's going to grow me in a certain way or teach me something. And I just watched an essay that someone made about replacing brain rot, which everyone's struggling with right now, just absorbing stuff that's useless, replacing that with self-education. And I thought that was a powerful way to sort of about face and take a habit that's really just draining your resources and not helping you, and turning it towards something that is stimulating. It's enjoyable. You can choose a topic that you've always wanted to learn about. Hopefully everyone has some of those. And boom, you're using your brain. You're stretching it. You're learning a new skill. It's all, you can choose as much as you want to be the person leading that journey, but you're investing that time so well now. And you're going to walk away with a new habit, with new behaviors, a new topic of conversation for other people who either have tried it or want to try it. And your life just went up in quality and your time was really well used.
It seems like going through school ruins one, reading, and then also just like the desire for actually gaining more education. It's like you're forced to go through all these classes, forced because you paid for it, and now you have to actually do it. And it is taxing. And then there's stress with finals, and you're like, I'm glad that's done. And it's easy to just not be intentional about education again. And I think it's important to be a life learner. And the other thing, just like reading books, I feel like college ruins that for a lot of people. And so relearning to love reading books is important.
And an important factor of that is attention span. I think a lot of people, at least in Western culture, we're seeing the deterioration of attention spans.
Yeah.
So do you have anything that you've learned can help you get back to extending your attention span?
Being okay with silence. A lot of times if it's not social media, then it's music or podcasts. And sometimes it's good to just let your brain think. And being able to, like, again, it's being intentional. Why am I just mindlessly, like, each time I get in the car, instantly, you know, playlist? Like, how about every now and then I just say, I'm going to have silence. I'm going to try to think. It can be scary sometimes. You're like, you might actually be wondering, oh, hold on, what am I doing with my life? And that's scary and that's hard, because you're like, but I have all these hard things happening, so I should just be mindless about it. So yeah, be intentional in that way. Allow for space for thinking time.
That's a cool concept that I got to see a little bit when I had a phase where I decided to stop listening to music with words for a while. And I was kind of at the point where if I'm in my car, I'm listening to music. If I'm walking around, I'm probably listening to music. If I'm at home, you know, I'm probably listening to music. So just a lot of music coming in my ears. And I hard switched to instrumental and was just leaning into listening to a lot of soundtracks and classical. And it was really interesting how that changed my mental state, because like you just mentioned, I had more room to think. Because when you're listening to music with words, you're thinking through the story that song is telling, at least to some extent. If you're not thinking through it, it's at least distracting you from the other things you're trying to think about. And when you take that away, your brain actually has room to be original again and not just be running all these different programs other people have written. Mm-hmm, but instead, you're saying, okay, like, here's room to think again. So helpful. And I think it's changed how I listen to music. I'm not doing that challenge anymore. Mm-hmm. But I will do it again because it was so helpful. And it didn't take something away from my life in that my life was still enjoyable. Obviously, there's music with words that I love. And so that's why I'm back to listening to that sometimes. But that doesn't need to be all we're listening to. And I think a lot of people actually, maybe unknowingly, are escaping the chance to think and to create by just filling their lives with noise. One of the things that has bugged me for a long time is that I find it easy to take in between times where I don't necessarily have something planned and I just don't really end up doing anything useful in those. And I don't mind if what I do in that time is rest or slow down, but I want to do it because I chose to do it and thought intentionally about it. And so the idea of having windows of time throughout my day that are unplanned, that's okay with me. I may try doing time blocking and go crazy with that and see how I enjoy that. But even if I'm not time blocking, I'd love to just reach one of those windows and say, okay, like, what am I going to do that's valuable? Am I going to take a nap? Am I going to write a message to someone or something like that? So that's an area where I see a lot of opportunity because when you take all those little windows and gaps in your day, often people have an hour in between this and that and another hour here and another hour there. You combine those and you have a ton of time that you might just be throwing out. And so I would love to flip that around and take that time and invest it.
Yeah, I love that. Deadlines drive decisions and they drive action a lot of times. Another saying is work fills the time allotted for it. So if you just have an open-ended day and you're like, oh, I have to do these things, funny enough, they kind of take all day. But then when you have a really busy season, it's amazing how some tasks just get done and you actually enter a flow and you're like, boom, that's all I can do. I have to hop on a flight or whatever it is and things shrink down and get done quicker. And for me, I have a fluid work situation. I don't punch a clock or anything. So I'm always having to set artificial deadlines in a way if there is no actual deadline. Some goals that I have is to travel a little more. Sometimes I get stuck at home and I think it'd be fun to travel out of state a few times. I put down at least four times this year, whether that's visiting friends or going to a cavern or a cave or something nature-wise that would be fun. And those can motivate some other work. I have to make space in my calendar for this now. I need to hit certain goals or whatever it is, you know, get ahead on work so that I can go do this cool thing. That's a deadline, a fun goal that's going to drive a lot of other habits that I'm going
to
do.
Sounds like a powerful tool, being able to take something that's vague and not very clearly defined and saying, here we go. Here are the borders. Here's what needs to happen in this amount of time.
Tony Robbins, productivity guy, is like really big. And so the guy before him, he's an old guy. He's dead now, from what I can tell. He's a Christian. Jim Rohn, he has a really good workshop that I've actually taken and put into a template. And what he's saying is write out 100 things that you want to do in your life. What do you want to have? What do you want to do? He had a whole bunch of things. And you need to write them all out. And at first you're like 100. That's a lot. But once you get like the first 10 or 20, then you start really like start thinking like, what do I want to do? What do I want to have? What, etc. And then there's a whole workflow. It's really, really helpful. You rate them like, is it a year goal? Is this a 3-year, 5-, or 10-year goal? And then how many is that? You can kind of tell what kind of person you are based on how many you have in each category, etc. But one thing that he mentioned in the middle of that workshop was make sure that when you complete one of these, that you celebrate. Even if it's a small one or something, make sure you celebrate proportional to how big that goal was. Because your brain is a reward optimization machine. And it's funny how when we do something good, a lot of times we don't really celebrate or reward ourselves. And so why would we actually do that more? So anyway, that's a little something.
I think something that's key in that infrastructure is focusing on your response to something. So responses, I think we often tend to focus on whatever comes before the response, you know, the action or the procedure. But how you respond to something can totally change your approach to it when maybe a similar situation arises again. And it's the whole idea of if you make a mistake, do you own up to it and say, I'm going to learn from this and I'm going to acknowledge I made a mistake. Yes, I don't want to make it again. I'm going to figure out how to get there. One mistake can be a catalyst for growth.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas same person or another person can make the same mistake and just despair over it. And the difference there is the response. It wasn't the initial action. And so when it comes to setting goals for your life or setting ambitious guidelines for how you want to live your year, if we can respond in intentional ways, I think that will influence and drive how we do it next time and improve what we do. And I know this sounds vague, but I was just looking at someone's idea that had to do with celebration and celebrating just trying something. And so they decided to record whenever they tried something new because they kind of had a fear of failure. And so they would record it and it didn't matter how far they got. If they just tried, they would put it in this and they would celebrate it. And they'd say, you know, here's what I tried. Here's how it went. Here's maybe what I need to do better next time. But it was such an intentional framework to turn even something that most people don't celebrate.
Yeah.
If you just try, like that's to the participation award, right? Like no one really feels great about getting that. But what if you should feel great for participating?
Yeah.
So kind of like a mental hack that I think will encourage us to step out and try new things or different behaviors in a way that we might be afraid to do.
Yeah, I think a lot of times I've not done something and not started because I'm like, it's not big enough. Like it's not worth trying unless if there's a really big payoff, and maybe just start some things and then celebrate those small wins because that'll get the ball rolling. Yeah. Something that I've been thinking about is forcing functions. How can you use forcing functions to start? A lot of times we have that moment of clarity, of that moment of motivation and urge to just go and actually change life. And that usually happens because we've, you know, after a 7-hour scroll, you know, session, you're like, shoot, I am never going to do this again or whatever. So you have this motivation, but I read a book, Willpower Doesn't Work. Yeah, it's really good book on the subject and also the importance of environment. And there's some other books also that really pinpoint that willpower alone, discipline, is going to fail you. You can't rely on that. And so you're like, well, what else is there? And so there's forcing functions. In that moment of clarity, you can do some things that when you don't have it, if you run out of the discipline, if you don't feel like doing it, well, you have this thing that you already put into motion that forces you to keep going. And this can look in a lot of different ways. It can be monetary. You already bought the tickets for the race. So now you won't sunk cost fallacy. You're actually using it for good. You're like, I've already spent the money. I might as well keep training, even though I don't feel like it. Well, I'm going to end up, I'm going to do it because I already spent the money. Could be you tell a friend like, hey, if I don't do this habit, then I have to pay you $200 or whatever it is. You know, I don't hit this goal.
That'll rack up.
And then you're like, shoot, now you have the motivation to keep going. There's various different creative ways that you can introduce a forcing function. One really good one is putting it on social media. Say, I'm going to do this. And you say it publicly. And in reality, people probably won't remember and probably won't care enough But maybe they will. And it's actually pretty motivating. Every now and then somebody's like, oh yeah, hey, by the way, how is that going? You're like, oh yeah, it's either it's going well, or you're like, shoot, I need to actually get back on top of this and keep going. So there's a lot of different ways that just the whole idea that while you have that moment of clarity, that might be right now, like, okay, I need to be doing this thing. How can you put things in motion that will force you to keep going when you don't have the motivation to?
I like that. And I think it's a simple way, like you don't, you know, if you don't want to start with offering money to someone or something like that, capturing it by writing it down or telling someone builds some instant accountability, because there's, if you didn't tell anyone and you didn't write it down, you could just forget about it or just ignore it and walk away and no one would ever know. But we have this sense of we don't want to fail other people. And that's where the peer pressure of social media can come in. Or maybe we don't want to fail ourselves. And so by writing something down, you're going to see that and be like, oh man, I need to be doing this because I remember that I recorded this. And you know, our memory isn't great, but the more cues we can put out to try to reach this goal, I think the more likely you are to actually hit that.
A lot of times it's the first week or first 10 days that like, if you can do that, your chance of continuing this habit, it dramatically increases. So have a friend who maybe has the same goal or just agrees to do this. It just text them a number. All these various apps have incorporated the whole streak idea. Maintaining your streak. You want to keep this streak. You know, Duolingo and all these other apps. It's crazy how motivating that can be. And so just each number, you text the next number. So one and then two and then three. And so you're building this streak. And maybe you only do that for the first week or something, but that gets you that first week down. Maybe you keep going and then maybe you miss a day. Well, then you have to text a zero. Really don't want to do that. So you're like, shoot, I'm going to make sure I do that. You keep going. So I found that helpful. Cool. Another thing you can do, if you have a friend that you know is disciplined and gets up at whatever time it is, say 6 o'clock, you can ask him, hey, I want to do this. Can I call you for literally just 30 seconds and be like, hey, you up? Yes, I'm up. All right, have a great day. Click. Boom. That's the first time I strung a week of getting up before 6 o'clock was doing that with a friend. And so now that the goal is I'm going to do that for a whole year this year. So yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Any other things that were helpful? Any other goals?
I think something that I'm interested to explore further this year is the juxtaposition of the need to be using digital resources for work and for education and organization. I mean, there is so much that really needs to be digital right now. But I want to balance that with a strong desire to get back to the analog, things that aren't on the screen. Because I think this is going to be a trend we see this year, and hopefully something that just keeps growing. A desire to escape from the digital escapism that's really rampant right now. And filling every moment with a screen, it's not helpful. I think everyone knows that. But I would love to see, what can I replace that with? And that's something I've explored for years to an extent, but I'd love to keep going and look into what can I do with a little amount of time, because often it really feels like there's nothing better to do than to look at my phone.
Yeah, because you see what everybody else is doing. Like, well, look at that. They just did this. They just did that. And you want to stay caught up or whatever, but it ends up you just not doing those things, not getting a friend to go on a hike or whatever it might be, or just going to coffee or whatever. And it seems so little. Like, I had coffee with a friend, and then you go to Instagram and you're like, wow, they just, you know, hiked a mountain in the Swiss Alps or whatever it is, or you have all these, this time of year, a lot of collages of group photos and everything. It was like, well, that only happened because they were doing things. They were getting friends together and having coffee and things, etc. That's the only way it actually works. Instagram and all these social medias just put it all together. So don't feel bad. Go do things.
Yeah.
I think it's
as simple as that. It's like, let's just start. Let's start doing something different.
Start doing things, yeah.
And I think, you know, not that life is just this big scale, but when your scale is tipped like this and just being on a screen all the time is just all your time is right here on this side, you're missing out on so much. And there's a whole world around us that is, it's stunning. It's full of opportunities, experiences, and relationships. And think about the countless things that you've missed by just doing something random on a screen instead of going and finding those things. And I just don't want to, you know, I think there's already been plenty of years in my life where that was something that unfortunately took up a lot of my year. It's just sort of doing random things, and really have much long-term even short-term benefit.
Just moving through life and not thinking, where am I going?
Yeah.
I feel that. And finally actually writing down, what do I think God wants me to be doing? How do I get better at that? What do I want my life to look like? How do I start working on those? What are some projects, some goals? And then not ending there, you have to break it down to what are some daily actions that I can start doing tomorrow.
I love that you bring up writing down.
Yeah.
It's like, there's just something about writing something.
Yep.
Suddenly it's on paper. It's solidified. It's official.
Yep.
And if you can write it somewhere, you'll find it again. That's even better.
This is true.
Some organization is good. I have so many notebooks that I wrote something down in. I'll probably see it again in 10 years. But I think there's something powerful in saying, I want to turn the rudder of whatever this aspect of my life is that I don't like. And I want to change. Even if, you know, a ship turns slowly, but it's never going to turn at all if you don't take the rudder and say, we're going to go in a different direction now.
Yep.
And so one thing that I want 2026 to really be for me is an exploration of how do I take those opportunities for being on a screen or just not really having a plan and instead look for ways to microdose intentionality and find, okay, you know, I only have 3 minutes here. What if I just stopped and breathed and think, you know, instead of pulling out my phone and checking my texts and often nothing productive will happen. You'll check the same things you checked 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. But we have these habits of just like, okay, this is what I need to do.
Yeah,
it's very bad for us.
The social media, they spend millions of dollars engineering how can we keep people on the app. And so turn those notifications off, all of them. Go to, you know, settings, notifications, slide that slider off, especially for the social media.
I can't believe people even have those on.
It's life-changing, actually. It really is. When you silence those, and you can go in and say notify for contacts, so text messages and phone calls. You can do it for just your starred people or like all your contacts, but your social media apps, turn those notifications off.
And it's crazy. If you look in the notifications on, I think Instagram I saw, they'll notify you about something, someone you don't follow, that they posted or that they commented on someone else's post. I could care less, right?
Yeah.
But they're just trying to keep you chained to their thing.
That's how they
make
money.
Their program.
It's ads.
And it's not about your success or helping you. Mm-hmm. It's entirely about consuming you.
Yeah.
And I think we, as people living in a very consumeristic culture, often don't realize that we're more often consumed by these companies. We're not just their consumers. And so we feel like we're in control. It's the idea of going to a store and buying a luxury item. You feel, I'm in control. I'm getting this expensive, nice thing for myself. And it's not wrong, but that brand is the one that's winning. It's not you, unless you really needed it. And then that's okay. You know, if you really needed it, you thought about it, you want it, okay. But there's a lot of people who can't even afford those things. They feel like they're in control, but they're the ones being consumed. And it's just, it's a system that's rigged and we're falling for it every day. Whether that's just being obsessed with the social media or a mobile phone game that like Candy Crush Saga, nothing happens. Okay, you could play all 5,000 levels. Nothing's happening. You're just swiping candy.
Yeah.
But there's people who've spent a lot of their lives playing that game. And I want to think about, what is that for me? Where do I kind of have a blind spot and need to really reassess, is this even doing anything?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the best way to make sure a habit or a goal is accomplished is having a really strong why behind it. Without that, you will have that bad day. You will have that time where you're like, I just don't feel it. And if you don't have a why you're doing this, then you'll be like, why am I doing this? And you just won't do it. So a lot of strong whys, strong reasons to do things come from having a vision. And then you're like, okay, I want to do this. It's really compelling. Make it really specific. And then draw that why from for that goal specifically.
And a good challenge for this year, as we're looking into setting patterns and routines and goals, be looking at what is the underlying why of what I want to do this year? And that'll influence it pretty dramatically.
Cool. You have anything else?
That's all.
Great. Well, with that, there's a few questions in here. I'm going to have them in the description, those specific helpful questions. I'll also link the Jim Rohn workshop. I think that's really helpful. It's actually pretty fun to do. It matters more the why than the what. I hope this was helpful, special edition. I'm going to get it out there as quickly as I can. And hope you will have a great, wonderful, exciting 2026.
Absolutely.
Ka-chow. There we go.
Oh, my leg is dead.
Make sure this thing was actually recording, you know?